The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, I got to start with a quick story.
Another quick story.
I hope you don't mind this, but Mike, you know that I have this deep love for HBCUs. You know
yes.
that. And specifically, Bethune-Cookman University. And so, you know, I'm a trustee there, and it's super cool and an honor, exciting, because I've been a lifelong fan. And then we had a trustee meeting, and, you know, it's new, and we're all kind of new, whatever. And so this young woman is sitting next to me, and she's like a marketing genius person. And so I said, hey, can we have a picture together? And then we'll promote it. We're promoting the college and university. So she says, you know, sure, she's super nice. She doesn't know who is this weirdo, whatever, but she was really nice. Take a picture. So I put the picture on my social media, and I kid you not, I had all these people start messaging me, and they're like, what are you doing this picture with her? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? We're both trustees at Bethune-Cookman. They're like, well, we know she's a trustee. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm right. a trustee too. And it was sort of funny, but that is our guest today is my buddy from Bethune-Cookman Trustees, who's a bigger deal than I'm ever going to be. Courtney Rhodes is on the call with us. Hello, Courtney.
Hi, John. How flattering. Thank you for that intro.
It's totally true. I had people screenshot it and send it to me like, well, what are you doing? And I had to elevate my game to be on the same page with Courtney.
I don't know about that part, but that is a very cute story.
It's all true. It's all true. So, Courtney, we're so glad to have you on the show. And I want to get our audience to know a little bit about you. You got all this cool stuff going on. I mean, first you have a marketing agency, that's C&D agency, and you're doing marketing, but you also have a jewelry brand. I think it's Courtney Raquel, and you were just in the Grammys or swag bag. Tell me all the stuff you got going on. What's going on with you, Courtney?
Absolutely. Well, first, thank you for having me. It's an absolute honor. And yeah, so my background is in advertising and marketing. I started my career years ago with what was then Clear Channel Radio, and then the company has since transitioned to iHeartMedia, and I've actually worked with both companies. But, you know, after spending some time working at that level of marketing one-on-one with clients, I realized that really I had a niche for working with the individual brands and the owners or the marketing directors to really kind of hone out the magic in the brand. And, you know, what that means to me is just the marketplace is super competitive. It always has been. And one of the repetitive things that would often come back to us when campaigns didn't work would be the fact that marketing did not work. Mm. And that is absolutely not the case. Marketing will always work, but it's a balance of an art and a science, right? Like, you have to understand who you are as a brand, who you're talking to, like who are going to be those loyal people who are going to continue to use your products and services, and understand how to connect the dots between what's really important to those people and what your brand has to offer. And that gives you a really nice position in the market. And then you slap a little persona on top of it and really tap into their lifestyle and their behavior and their behaviors. And then you've got something that works. And then you get the right message to the right people enough times in marketing, it will always work, right? So because of that, I think in 2019 started a consulting company, marketing consultant. It was pretty high level. It was just me and assistant at the time. And then that kind of morphed into during the pandemic. You know, there were just, when you're doing consultant at that level, there are only so many clients that you can work with because you're going so deep with the brands and you're so attached to the whole strategic part of it and the marketing part of it. At that point, you're kind of more operational once you get the strategy. So in order to expand our reach, I partnered with a former client of mine who's also a friend, Dina Marto. And we merged to start an all-women's agency out of Atlanta. We have national clients, but we're out of Atlanta. And so that's the CNDB agency. Now, as a young girl growing up in South Carolina, I actually grew up on the coast in Berkeley County, which is in between, if you could imagine, Myrtle Beach and Charleston, 10 miles off the coast, directly smack in the middle of those places, with a father who was a blue-collar worker, and he was a welder and a plumber. And so just to to keep me occupied, he would be working, you know, welding pieces. He was really into, like, classic cars and, you know, tearing engines out. Like, he was a real guy. Very Southern as well, happened to listen to country music. He was just a good old boy, quite honestly. But at any rate, he would weld stuff, and I would take the scraps, and we would make jewelry from it. So
that's cool.
I've kind of always done that. Have been passionate about it through the years. Of course, I would make jewelry for fun and wear pieces and, you know, give it to friends and family members, et cetera. But I always knew that at some point I wanted to do more with it. But then in my mind, when I went to college, you know, my parents weren't that excited. I actually got accepted into FIT, and I really wanted to go there for jewelry making. But instead, I went to Morgan State, which I'm super proud about. It's an HBCU, and it was actually a legacy school because my mom and all her sisters went there. So I went there, but, you know, I kept that in the back of my mind, got my education and communications, then went back to grad school, University of Baltimore, got another degree in communications, but again, always kind of wanted to do more with jewelry. So fast forward, and during the pandemic, I had some time on my hands, so I started to research factories and pull out some old designs and launch the brand, and somehow the stars aligned with God's grace, and we launched inside the 2022 official Grammy swag bag.
Crazy.
And it's kind of been popping off since. So that's, you know, that's my career story in a nutshell.
Well, it's awesome. And I have 87 questions. And Mike's telling me, he's looking at me, it's like, John, you have time for two. You only have time for two, John. What are you doing? All right. So let me say this first. So with the swag bag. Okay.
Yes.
You know, I have daughters and they're 17 and 18. And if I were to say to them, hey, I just bought you this piece of jewelry, it's part of the Grammy swag bag, that would be a big hit in the Crossman household. So can I buy that same thing? How do I buy that?
Absolutely. So the website is CourtneyRaquel.com. And absolutely. And the funny part about it is, so that happened a couple weeks ago, and I've already started getting pictures of, like, celebrities wearing the jewelry, which is even more cool because yes. So I couldn't have dreamed of a more amazing launch. And again, it's the grace of God. So I'm just like, it wasn't even about me. It was just, you know, I just happened to be the person. So yes,
awesome.
They would love it. I think I'm very proud of it. And the site kind of talks about the inspiration, my father, my family, growing up in South Carolina, during the times that I did. I come from a family that was very big into the civil rights and integrating schools. And so all that influence I kind of talk about, but the brand is all about unity, connectivity, and moving humanity forward in a way that's beneficial for all of us. So it really is a way to express what I believe for, you know, the human potential, quite frankly.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I hope you will think about sending me one of those pictures with those celebrities so I can then get it and then show the thing to the girls. That'd be just so cool.
I think that could happen.
Okay. I'm so excited. All right. So real quick, I just want to mention about Morgan State because we've never talked about this. So, you know, we endowed the first ever real estate scholarship at Bethune-Cookman, FAMU, and Jackson State, and we're doing something sort of similar at North Carolina Central. Well, one of my business partners, because I sort of influence that, is doing the same thing at Morgan State. Same thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a big part of this show is the promotion that we do about HBCUs. So we're going to take a break here in just a minute or so. When we do, I want to come back and I want to talk more about HBCUs and all that kind of stuff and the connection you have with Bethune-Cookman. But before I do, I just want to say this. It sounds like when I hear you talk, it's like some people say you're living the American dream, right? Like your parents is working class people and doing stuff, and then you got these bigger opportunities and you're doing cool things and you're very humble about it, and then you're trying to give back to the community. It sounds like a full circle thing. Is that true?
No, I definitely feel that. And I definitely give a lot of credit to, you know, my family, my community, as well as HBCUs, because I think, again, it's important to believe that a dream is attainable for everyone. And it's just, you know, it's not, it takes a village, and we say that all the time, but it really does. So I am super blessed to really feel that way. I have a huge obligation to give back and, you know, move it forward. But again, it takes a village, and it takes allies, and it takes, you know, coming together for a common cause. So yes, I do. I believe that for myself.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and have more fun with you because you're awesome. And so I just want to remind people, it's Courtney Rhodes with C&D Agency, marketing superstar, and also Courtney Raquel with her jewelry stuff just in the Grammy swag bag. That's just so crazy cool. So this is the Crossman Conversation. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you looking for remote work but are worried that you don't have the right skills? The Central Florida Urban League offers a Microsoft Office Specialist course that teaches you how to use Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Microsoft PowerPoint. With your MOS certification, you will have a major advantage when applying for jobs. For more information and how to enroll, call the Central Florida Urban League at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org/Microsoft_Office_Specialist.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
Hey, it's John, and we're here with Courtney. And Courtney, you know, we're talking about all the super cool stuff you're doing with jewelry and how amazing it is in your life story. I want to transition back over to the marketing part. And the first thing I want to say is that when I was listening to you talking about your marketing agency and your background, that one guy told me one time that marketing's like this, is that if you think about the content being the seeds, marketing is the soil, right? So if you just got terrible seeds, there's no amount of, you know, soil is going to fix it. But if you have really good seeds and it gets the right soil, then it explodes. That combination. That is that accurate, you think, as a description when we talk about marketing?
No, I totally agree. And that's an analogy that relates to the art and the science, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, you need both the content or just kind of the heart of whatever it is that you're promoting needs to be super clear, super concise. Who are we talking to? Why are we talking to them? What do we want them to do, think, or believe kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And then the actual marketing is the strategy. Then how do we get this message? You know, what is the message? And then what's the best platform or ways to communicate this message to our target enough time? So totally agree.
Gotcha. So here's my next, and this is the sort of segue kind of question stuff. So Courtney, I'm a devout Christian.
Right.
You know, some of our listeners are, some are not, and that's good. And some of our guests are, and mm-hmm. some are not. That's good. So we like, it's the Crossman Conversation, so we have conversations, right, kind of stuff. And so, you know, I meet Christians sometimes, and they'll be like, they really are passionate about education and college uh-huh. education. And I always tell them, like, well, I'm a trustee at a Christian university. And then right. when it comes up that it's an HBCU, it's like sometimes there's like a rope, like, wait, what?
You know? Sure, sure.
Right. And so I'm trying to always tell like the greater Christian community, like, hey, mm-hmm. a lot of these HBCUs, and specifically Bethune-Cookman, the one you and I are associated with, it's a Christian mm-hmm. university. You know, if you're a big Andy Stanley fan, like, man, Andy Stanley, like, we'd love to have him come guest lecture at the school. Or your big, right. you know, Tony Evans or Franklin Graham or any like really great Christian right. leaders we think of, you know, that right. connectivity. So help me. What do you think when I start talking about the marketing part, that in Black communities, when I say HBCU, they get it. But when I go to mm-hmm. Christian, regardless of color, mm-hmm. it gets kind of mm-hmm. lost. How do we get better mm-hmm. at marketing that?
So I just think with anything, we have old ideologies, right? Mm. And it's just natural if you grow up with a perception and an understanding of something, your experiences kind of shape your perspective and your view. And so You know, if you're like I grew up, my grandfather was an African-American pastor. So I grew up, you know, in a very Christian family, and I'm still Christian. And yes, so when you mentioned Bethune-Cookman to me, I automatically think Christian and I think HBCU because that has been my experience, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. For someone where it's not, of course, they're going to, you know, they have their perception. And once again, in order to change that, we have to just have these conversations. I think, you know, what you're doing is a great way, and you're a part of, you know, you're providing a solution. You're having these conversations. You're getting these messages out. You're having people like me on the show to talk about these things. And it's about having more, like, you know, it's a paradigm shift. It's about introducing more people to the truth of what Christianity is and how we can work together, and that, you know, the HBCU is founded in Christian principles, because if you don't know, you don't know. So it's sharing the message enough time to the right people, and over time it changes and we have a new ideology of what that means.
I've guest lectured at over 30 different universities across the United States, and lots of wonderful experiences, but I have gotten in trouble a couple of times at state universities for apparently coming across a wee bit too churchy, right? Like I've gotten in trouble a little bit, you know, I've been told to have to pull it back, you know, and because when in my head I'm on stage and people are talking, I just start talking off my head. That's never happened at HBCU. Whether it was a Christian, officially Christian one or not, I have never, ever, ever been told tone that back. And I think probably a lot of white Christians would be surprised by that. They'd be like, really? Mm-hmm. And I'd like, yeah, man. Like, in fact, I'm doing a thing with FAMU. Don't tell Bethune-Cookman. But I'm doing this thing with FAMU.
Okay,
don't keep it a secret. But
that's
at the
end, it's okay.
But at the end of it, there's a worship service. Like it's just like part of the meeting just goes into worship service. And you know, I've done stuff obviously at Florida State and Florida and a lot of great universities. But like that would be kind of unheard of. So, so do you see that? Like there is this sort of maybe greater Christianity connection in HBCU world?
Well, I think it's, you know, not even I think, I know it's the culture. The more God we can have, the better off, right? And I think that, you know, it's just a part of, if you, for what it's worth, look at the history of African Americans in this country. If it wasn't for Christianity and God, we would not be in the place that we are. And I think that's something that at HBCUs and just the Black community in general, you know, we're never going to apologize for that. And we're going to welcome anybody that, you know, that is worshiping God and believes in, you know, the principles and the foundation of Christianity, because it's what brought us through, right? You asked me personally about my story. Like, I'm the first one. I always, you know, I don't get in trouble about religion, but I talk about God a lot because I just know that I'm a vessel for God to work through, and I don't apologize about that, right? Like, God used me, and I celebrate that. And when I meet other people that celebrate that, it's just a bigger church service and a bigger communion. And I think that's just a part of the culture, right? So the more God, the more Christianity, the better for us.
You know, I love how you just said that. I kind of think about what hills do we want to claim, right? And so if you're saying, hey, John, I'm on this hill over here, and this is the I love God and I want to talk about God hill, I'm like, man, I want to be on the hill with you, Courtney. Like,
right.
And I think there's
a
lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds that would be in that space. And that's good stuff. So let me ask you this. I want you to visualize if you and I were sitting side by side and we're in a room, and it's kind of like a medium sized room, and you're looking out and the room is filled with, let's just say, like 60 white CEOs, and they're kind of middle-aged, older white guys, but they're good guys. Okay, Courtney, they're nice guys.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Courtney, like you're super cool, and I have my own company, and I want my company to be more aware and working on issues and helping diversity and like that. What would you tell them if you felt just really relaxed? And you're like, you know, here's what I would want these white, middle-aged, older white business guys to know about race and women, Black men, workplace. What would you want them to hear?
I don't think there be one message, Don, and I'm going to answer it to the best of my ability.
Oh,
but
sure.
I would have one-on-one conversations with them and really get an understanding for where they are, because you have to meet people where they are. And I think that's a big part of the uncomfortableness of it all, is that, you know, I can't go into that room being like, hey, guys, this is what you need to do. And, you know, we're in 2022 and you need to get on board with diversity and inclusion, yada, 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 right? That's not going to really work, because that's not going to necessarily feel authentic to them. So what I would personally do is have one-on-one conversations and kind of get a feel for their mindset, their experiences, whatever their resistances or their strong opinions. And my, it's there for a reason. And so to have a conversation, not to necessarily change their mind or push them forward, but to just maybe reflect back to them their beliefs, and then figure out, okay, so this is where you are. This is your strong beliefs. You know, these are your strong beliefs. This is what you would like for the future. Well, in order to get from where you are to where you're telling me you want to go, I would recommend we begin here, right? Mm. So it would really be an individual approach, because no matter what, when we're learning something new or we're trying to adapt new ways of being, like, we're humans. And so we're wired from old behaviors and habitual behaviors. And so, you know, yeah, here's this woman in this room who's talking all this feel good stuff, but what does that really mean for me when she's gone, and when I'm reconciling, you know, the conflict within myself, right? So it's really getting people to just kind of go deep inside and say, all right, you want to be a part of moving America forward and moving these conversations forward and doing things that's going to better this country for your children and my children and the betterment of the future of this country, then let's have these conversations. I'm going to respect where you are. You respect where I am. And let's see what commonalities we can connect around to move forward together.
I like that a lot. That's a great, it's a great answer. I want to respond and say this to you, because I was thinking about this last night. So my mom's father was black, and he he passed as white, but I think if, like, we more break that down, he was, you know, he was, he told me he was part Native American, whatever. But part reason why I bring
my
it up,
my grandfather was the opposite. He was white and passed as black.
There you go. So we're probably related, probably. But what here's what I find fast. His dad was absolutely black. And when I do my family tree, and you said, John, like, create a box and write the names of all your great grandfathers and where they were born and just something about it, I can do it with all of them except him. And my family tree goes back, I mean, crazy, crazy, except right with him. And then it disappears. I actually don't know what his name was. I don't know anything about him. And so that's a small, tiny part of my story. I don't want to, like, overstate that, but it is a part of my story that I have this tree, this branch, and I'm like, man, like, there are people I know that have that for all of their boxes, like all of their great grandparents, right? And so I try to tell people, it's like, it's, you know, we need to be, listen and be compassionate and try to find that space to help understand each other's, you know, stories, right?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I totally agree. And let me just correct, my great-grandfather passed as black. But absolutely, John. And again, you know, it's, you know, when I did my ancestry DNA and got the results, I was like, holy moly. Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what you realize is it doesn't matter. We're people. Mm-hmm. Our experience is based on how we identify. From a racial standpoint, definitely affects our experiences, and, you know, in this country. But, you know, you cut me, I'm going to bleed the same way you will. When I die, I want to see Jesus. So at the end of the day, I want my family to be safe and happy and prosperous and protected and safe. So, you know, just the things that we want are the same. And I think more than anything, that's important. And looking at those family trees might give us, you know, just a stronger understanding and connection and a little more tolerance.
Gotcha. Well, I'm getting the John, I love you, but wrap it up sign from Mike. So we got to wrap it up. But I will finish by saying this, you know, Courtney, You and I had the same blood shed for us, and that makes us family, right?
Absolutely.
And so I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful for your leadership at Bethune-Cookman. I'm grateful for your agency. I'm going to buy some of your jewelry. I'm so excited about that for my ladies.
I'm excited about that, too.
Thank you for being our guest on the Crossman Conversation. Courtney Rose, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute honor. I love what you're doing. Keep doing it. And kudos to you.
Thank you so much. And as I say every episode, Mike, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.